May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Redeemer. Amen. Among all of the problematic stories and opinions that flood my Facebook feed daily, and I'll simply leave my description of it at that one adjective, problematic, there also are, thankfully, moments when I'm introduced to something wonderfully new or I experience a sudden moment of joy. Now, I've been a lover of classical organ music my entire life. And because of that love, I follow a number of Facebook groups for organists and composers, for organ builders, and even for particular instruments. Earlier this week, one of those moments of joyful discovery appeared on the page of the Polish organist Lydia Szoszkiewicz. It was a video of a piece called Libertango, written by the Argentinian composer Astor Piazzolla and performed by her during an international organ festival in the town of Roquefort, France. Now, this wasn't a piece that I was familiar with, so I decided to do a little homework, and I found some fascinating things. It was first composed and recorded in 1974, not originally for organ, but rather for a small 11-piece band. Piazzolla, who was a well-known tango composer, had decided to go in a new direction with his work and embraced something called Nuevo Tango, which is a movement that combines classic tango with elements of jazz and classical music. Now, this particular piece by Piazzolla is so beloved that in the past 45 years, it has been covered and transcribed for a variety of different groups and instruments. There's the organ arrangement that I heard. There's an arrangement for piano, for orchestra and trumpet, and even for cello and bandoneon, which is an instrument similar to a an accordion. And in that performance, Yo-Yo Ma plays one of the leading roles. In fact, if you go to YouTube, you will find dozens and dozens of arrangements of this piece of music. Now, at this point, you're probably asking yourselves, what in the world does this have to do with anything? And if you are, I certainly don't blame you. Believe me, I wasn't simply looking for a convenient way to work the words Szoszkiewicz, Libertango, Piazzolla, Roquefort, and Bandoneon into a conversation. In all seriousness, this does relate to something from today's scripture readings, and in particular, the last line from 2 Timothy. And I'll say those words once again. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. Now, what we just heard comes from what is known as one of the Pauline pastoral letters, likely written by a disciple of Paul, although it's impossible to rule out that Paul himself was actually the writer. But regardless of who wrote it, the author has set out in very plain language what we are called to do. And the words here are an admonition that harkens back to similar words spoken by Jesus and recorded in Mark's gospel. Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. Jesus had told his disciples to be evangelists. And here, in the letter to Timothy, we're getting a reminder of that direction. So where's the connection between these words and an organ transcription of a tango? Well, to return to the musical theme with which I began, the statement in the Pauline letter is the composition that has been created. What's missing, however, are performance notes. There's nothing saying that we have to play the piece in a particular way. There's no suggested tempo. There's no particular key offered. There's nothing telling us whether to play it loudly or softly. and we don't even know what theological instrument we're supposed to use. Here in the verses of this passage, there is nothing shared with Timothy as to how specifically to be an evangelist. There's nothing saying what the step-by-step process is for carrying out this ministry. Now, we do see things in broad terms. A few verses earlier, we read, "Proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching." But even those lack specificity, and they don't acknowledge any individual and unique approaches to this. A style of proclamation by one person will be very different from the style of another. The act of rebuking someone may come easily to one person and for another be something that instills terror. It's easy to be persistent when things are good, but not so much when things are bad. And as we all know, depending on the day or circumstances, patience may be hard to come by. So what we're left with are broad strokes, but there are no particulars. And that, I think, is where our work begins. We have to determine what transcription of this letter to Timothy works for us. And we have to decide how we will perform our own arrangement of this piece. How will we do the work of evangelists? What might it look like to carry out our ministry fully? Now, you've heard me over the past several years talk about those who live into their work by volunteering at the food pantry. Others take part in planning and serving at community meals. All of those who serve in some capacity in our worship services, our singers and musicians, our greeters and ushers, our lectors and intercessors, our crucifers and our chalice ministers, are each living out an aspect of their own individual ministries. In their own way, each one of these is a type of evangelism. Each of those is an activity directly tied to the life of this church and our work in the world. But each activity is also bound by a certain period of time. Services have beginnings and endings. Dinners have starts and finishes. The pantry has set hours of operation. So what about the time we spend away from the church? What is our evangelical work on Monday morning or Thursday afternoon? Do we allow the fullness of our personal ministries here at the church to extend into our trips to the supermarket or the post office or into dinner with friends and family? Evangelism is not a part-time job. Living into our faith at only 75% isn't living into the fullness. It isn't living into the complete 100% of our ministries. Now, I'm not advocating for you all to do certain things. I'm not, for instance, asking you to start ringing your neighbor's doorbells to talk about Christ, or stopping people on the sidewalk, or even going to a corner and putting a box down and stepping up to act as a street preacher. I'm not asking you to do any of that. But I also won't even say there's just one single way to do evangelism or ministry, because there's not. The words of the writer of the letter to Timothy and the words of Jesus before that are a simple, single commission. But how we live into that commission is an individual process of discernment. And there are as many decisions on that as there are men and women thinking about it. It's up to each one of us to determine what evangelism means to us and how we feel led to fully invest ourselves in our ministries. It's up to each individual to determine what the words to Timothy mean to them. It's up to us to take the song that has already been written, to sit down with the tune of the Libertango in our lives, and determine how to create a transcription that best captures our own individual vision. It's up to us to take the tune laid out by the writer of this letter and make it our ministry, our unique gift, our special performance for our brothers and sisters in the world. Amen.